But nonsense. You don't look more than 50.
As a matter of fact, I'm nearly 60.
Really? You certainly don't look it.
I'm glad to hear it. Are you doing anything special tonight? If not, what about coming with me to my club? You'd get to know quite a lot of interesting people there.
I should love to. But today happens to be our wedding anniversary, and we're going out tonight to celebrate.
Well, my heartiest congratulations.
Thank you very much. I could manage to come along tomorrow night, if that would suit you.
Yes, excellent. Let's make it round about 8 o'clock.
Very well. Thanks.
Lesson 15. 15th lesson. The hotel.
There are plenty of good hotels in London, and you're nearly always sure of finding room in one or other of them. Still, if you don't want to be disappointed, especially during the holiday season, it's better to engage a room beforehand. You'll find London hotels just the same as hotels in all large cities. As a rule, you go into a large entrance hall or lounge, where visitors are constantly coming and going. The porter takes your luggage, and you go to the reception desk to see about your room and get your key. Then the page takes you up to your room in a lift. The people in the office will always help you if you don't know your way about the town. They'll tell you where to go and what to see. They'll book seats for you at the theatre and do all they can to make your stay a pleasant one.
If you want a guide to show you round or an interpreter for a business interview, they'll get you one. If you have to write business letters and can type, they'll provide you with a typewriter. If, on the other hand, you prefer to dictate your letters, they'll get you a shorthand typist. If your wife is going to be with you, she'll find plenty to amuse her. She'll be able to spend her time looking at the shops while you're busy.
Lesson 16. 16th lesson. Booking rooms.
Here we are. This is our hotel, isn't it?
Yes, there's the name. Prince's Court Hotel. Shall I look after the luggage, or will you?
Well, if you'll see to the luggage and pay the driver, I'll go in and see about rooms.
All right. Where shall I find you?
I'll wait for you in the hall. Don't be long.
I'll come as soon as I can.
Good morning. Can you let me have a double room with a bathroom? Or if you have two single rooms, so much the better.
We're practically full up, but I'll see. How long do you intend to stay?
I expect we shall be here for a week at least, perhaps a fortnight.
Yes, you can have two rooms with a bathroom on the first floor.
I hope they're quiet. I hate a noise at night.
I think you'll find they are, sir. They face the courtyard.
How much are they?
45 shillings a night, including breakfast.
All right, we'll take those.
Will you fill up this form, please?
Surname, Christian name, nationality. Permanent address, place and date of birth, signature. Is that all right?
Yes, that's all, thank you. And here are your keys. The page will show you up to your rooms and your luggage will be brought up straight away.
Lesson 17. 17th lesson. At the restaurant.
In all large towns, there are plenty of restaurants, cafes, tea rooms, and inns or public houses. All the large hotels have dining rooms or restaurants, like the one in the picture. Each little party of guests have their own table, and every table, as you see, has its own lamp. Many of the guests are in evening dress, which is usual at fashionable restaurants. At some, it's compulsory.
In the picture, you can see several couples dancing at the far end of the room near the orchestra. One of the waiters is standing near the buffet, where there are cold dishes of various kinds. Another's carrying a tray with a bottle of wine and two wine glasses on it. He'll put the bottle of wine into the ice bucket to keep it cool.
Meals in England are much the same as in other countries, with the exception of breakfast. I expect you've heard all about the English breakfast, with its porridge or cereal, bacon and eggs, toast, marmalade, and tea or coffee. Very few people like chocolate or cocoa for breakfast. In the afternoon, about 4 o'clock or 1:30, nearly everybody has tea. The two main meals of the day, lunch and dinner, are both more or less alike. Most people have lunch about 1 o'clock and dinner at 7:30 or later.
Lesson 18. 18th lesson. Ordering a meal.
Is this table free, waiter?
I'm sorry, sir. These two tables have just been reserved by telephone. But that one over there's free.
What a pity. We wanted to be near the dance floor. Still, it doesn't matter. We'll take it. The menu, please.
Here you are, sir. Will you dine a la carte or take the table d'hôte?
Well, let's see. What do you think, darling?
Oh, I don't want much to eat. I'm not very hungry. I think I'll have some oxtail soup and fried plaice with chips.
I'm rather hungry. I'll start with some hors d'oeuvre.
And follow? A grilled steak with baked potatoes and peas. Will you have anything to drink, sir?
I am rather thirsty. Bring me half a pint of bitter. What about you, darling?
I don't care for beer, but I'll have a glass of sherry.
Very good. What sweet would you like?
I'll have a fruit salad.
So would I. And we'll have two coffees, please.
Black or white?
White, please. Oh, and two liqueur brandies. Lovely waltz they're playing. Shall we dance?
Yes, I'd love to.
Waiter, the bill, please.
Very good, sir.
Here you are.
Thank you very much, sir.
Lesson 19. 19th lesson. Numerals, times and dates.
If I want to know the time, I look at my watch. I've got a gold wristwatch with a leather strap. It keeps fairly good time, but occasionally it goes wrong. When it does that, I take it to a watchmaker and have it repaired, cleaned, and regulated. I don't think you'll find it very difficult to tell the time in English. First of all, let's deal with the hours. We say, it's 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, and so on. 12 o'clock may refer to midnight or to midday. Then for the quarters, we say, for instance, it's 8:15, 8:30, 8:15. Sometimes people just say 8:15 instead of 8:15, and 8:30 instead of 8:30. We say other times as follows, 8:05, or simply 8:05. Similarly, 8:10, 8:20, 8:25, 8:25, 8:20, 8:50, 8:55.
Referring to dates, we say, for instance, Henry VIII was born on the 28th day of June, 1491, and died on the 28th of January, 1547. Be careful to pronounce distinctly 13, 30, 14, 40, 15, 50, 16, 60, and so on. Then learn 100, 101, 276, 1,000, 3,387.
Lesson 20. 20th lesson. Days and months. Asking the time.
Do you know the days of the week?
Yes. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Now let's assume that today is Wednesday. What day will tomorrow be?
Thursday.
And the day after tomorrow?
Friday.
What day was yesterday?
Tuesday.
And the day before yesterday?
Monday.
As it happens, last Monday was my birthday.
Is that so? Well, many happy returns of the day.
Thank you. And now let's have the names of the months.
Certainly. January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November, December.
Good. Oh, can you tell me the right time, please?
Well, my watch says 2:05. But it's no use relying on it, because sometimes it's fast and sometimes it's slow.
Lesson 21. 21st lesson. English money.
If you're going to England, you'll naturally want to know something about English money. I expect you've been used to the decimal system, so English money will probably seem very strange to you at first, but you'll soon get used to it.
There are three copper coins, the penny, the halfpenny, and the farthing. Then there's the threepenny bit. The other coins are the sixpence, the shilling, the two-shilling piece, and the half-crown, which is worth 2 shillings and 6 pence, or as we say, 2 and 6. Then there's a 10-shilling note and a pound note in common use. And for larger sums, there are 5-pound notes, 10-pound notes, and so on. There's no gold in circulation, so you hardly ever see a sovereign or half-sovereign. You may often hear the term guinea, which stands for 21 shillings, although there's no actual coin of this value.
There are 4 farthings in a penny, 12 pence in a shilling, and 20 shillings in a pound. If the price of a reel of cotton is 4 pence, you hand over 4 pennies for it. Similarly, you say 2 pence, 3 pence, and so on. If a stamp costs 3 halfpence, you hand the clerk a penny and a halfpenny, or 3 halfpennies, and he gives you a 3-halfpenny stamp. Lesson 22, 22nd lesson. At the bank.
Can you change me some money, please?
Certainly. What is it you wish to change?
Here it is. Some French francs, Swiss francs, American dollars, and a few Dutch guilders. You'd better count them.
If you'll wait a moment, I'll find out the rates of exchange. Here we are. Let me see. That'll make £41, 12 shillings and 6 pence, altogether. How would you like it?
Would you please give me 7 5-pound notes, 4 pound notes, and 4 10-shilling notes, and the rest in small change?
Certainly. Here you are. Will that do?
Would you mind giving me the 6 pence in coppers? I want to make a phone call, and I haven't any change. Thank you. By the way, can I open an account here?
You'll have to see the manager about that. If you'll kindly go through that door marked private, he'll attend to you.
Good afternoon, sir. My name is Anderson. I should like to open an account with you.
A deposit or current account?
Well, I want to be able to pay for things by check.
Then you want a current account. How much money do you want placed to your credit?
Here's £200. I think that ought to last me for some time.
I take it you can supply references?
Certainly.
Right. Here's a checkbook. When you send a check by post, be careful to cross it. But if you wish to cash a check yourself, you must leave it open.
Lesson 23. 23rd lesson. Postal services.
There are post offices in every town and nearly every village in the country. If you want to post an ordinary letter, a postcard, or a small parcel, you needn't go to the post office. You can drop it into the nearest pillar box. You can recognise these easily in England because they're painted red. If you want to send a telegram, you can either take it to the nearest post office or dictate it over the telephone. Pillar boxes are emptied several times a day. If you want your letter to arrive more quickly than by ordinary post, you can send it by airmail. Letters are delivered to your home or office by a postman, and telegrams by a telegraph boy. Here you can see what the inside of a post office looks like. On one side of the counter, you see several customers. On the other side, the clerks.
One of the people in the picture is buying postage stamps. Another is registering a letter. The third is writing out a cable. If you want to buy stamps, you must go to the right counter. If you go to the wrong one, you'll only waste your time. Ask for a halfpenny stamp, a penny stamp, a 3-halfpenny stamp, a 2-penny stamp, a 2-halfpenny stamp, a 3-penny stamp, and so on. If you want to send a parcel, you hand it to the assistant, who weighs it on scales and gives you the necessary stamps. The amount you have to pay depends on the weight of the parcel. In most post offices, and also in many streets, there are public telephone boxes from which you can telephone. All you have to do is lift the receiver, put into the slot the pennies due for the call, and dial the first three letters of the exchange you want, followed by the number.
Lesson 24. 24.